Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, why did Jesus have to die? Now, let's come to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, because this tells us who was Jesus. And we will see that he foreshadows that he would have to die. Right here in this one chapter. Let's start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word was Christ, the living Word of God, who brought the Word of God to all mankind. Now, it says, he was with God, and he was God. So this tells us there are two in the Godhead. And in the Old Testament, that's Elohim. And Elohim had also two parts, the Most High God and the Lord God. In the New Testament, we have God the Father and Jesus Christ. God the Father was the Most High. Jesus Christ was the one who was the Lord God. Now let's notice something else, which adds to our knowledge as to why Jesus had to die. He was in the beginning with God. All things, now circle that all things came into being through him. He's the one who did the creating back there in Genesis, the first chapter. And not even one thing that was created came into being without him. Now stop and think about that. All the scientists today trying to discover about life and how to make life, they always start with something God created first. They can't do it from nothing. Only God can. Let's come down here to verse 14. And the Word became flesh. Now mark that very carefully, because this is so true. Okay? Remember where we began. God made man in his own image and his own likeness, male and female, right? Okay? Now, God came to the earth in the form of Jesus Christ and was called the Word. He came in the flesh. Now, how did he do that? Now, first of all, he came in the flesh so he could be the sacrifice for human sin. He came in the flesh to teach them of God the Father. He came in the flesh to call the 12 apostles. He came in the flesh to heal and show the power of God to all the people during the time that he was on the earth. Okay? But how did God, who's eternal, become flesh so he could die? Now, that's also revealed in the Bible. Let's come to Philippians, the second chapter. And the beginning of it tells us what conversion is. So we won't get into that very much, but we'll read it anyway. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We'll save that for another time with Church at Home. But it's necessary to show what we must become and why Jesus came to the earth as a man. So let's read it. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. We saw that in John 1:1. But notice what he did. He emptied himself, and this means he divested himself from being God, to become a pinpoint of life to be conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary and be born like all human beings. So that says a lot there, doesn't it? Emptied himself and was made in the likeness of men. Now, what did we read in Genesis 1? God said, let us make man after our image and likeness. So here it is, reverse. In the likeness of men. And took the form of a servant. Not a high and mighty person. Born to a high and mighty family. But a servant. And being found in the manner of men, that is, every way that human beings are. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to sleep, everything you have to do. You have to work, you have to do what you need to do on a human level. Now, hold your place right there and let's see what Paul called this in 1 Timothy 3. Because this was a tremendous thing that was done. Now, we've got a couple segments about the birth of Jesus Christ and so forth. So you can go back and go over those. But here, verse 16, chapter 3, 1 Timothy. And undeniably great is the mystery of godliness. Yes, and it is. God was manifested in the flesh, was justified in the spirit, was seen by angels, was proclaimed among the Gentiles, was believed on in the world, was received up in glory. In different wording, it tells us the humbling of Jesus to become a man, that he was in the flesh, that he preached the gospel, that he was crucified and died, and was raised from the dead. All in that one verse, received back up unto glory. Now Philippians, the second chapter again. And being found in the manner of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now let's talk about that a little bit again. Let's come back to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and let's see what God did. And let's see how Jesus responded. And also this tells us that the animal sacrifices could never take away sin. So let's pick it up here in Hebrews 10 and verse 7. Then said I, now this is quoting God, lo, I come, as it's written of me in the scroll of the book. And there are prophecies after prophecies after prophecies that he would come. Some of them we will see. To do your will, O God. So what are we to do? Anything we choose to do? Or are we to do the will of God? Now, let's come back to John, the first chapter. And of course, John the Baptist came 6 months before Jesus to be a messenger to prepare a way for the Lord. And we find that prophecy in Malachi, the third chapter. Verse 29 of the first chapter of John. John sees Jesus coming to him and he says, behold, or that is, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Now notice he didn't say sins. Why? Because what was given to Adam and Eve when they sinned? Changing of their nature? Passed on genetically? To all human beings. So it's one whole long sin of humankind multiplied by billions and billions and billions of acts of evil. He says so down here, the same thing in verse 36. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, how did he become the Lamb of God? And why did he do that? Let's come back here to John 10 because we see something very important back here. So you see, now as we're going through these things, what are we doing? We are doing exactly as the Bible tells us, right? that to understand the truth of God, it's precept upon precept, line upon line, and here a little and there a little. Now, for those who love God and keep his commandments, that brings understanding. But for those who don't love God and keep his commandments, it brings misunderstanding and confusion. Because in order to understand the Bible properly, you must have the Spirit of God. Because everything in the Bible is produced by the Spirit of God, either God himself speaking or inspiring his servants to write. You go back and look at the Bible, Old Testament. God said, every word that Moses spoke came from God with all the prophets. Every one of them says, the word of the Lord came to me. And that Lord of the Old Testament was the one who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And it's all the word of God. John 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd and know those who are mine and am known of those who are mine. How do you know God? A lot of people claim they know God, right? But in claiming they know God doesn't mean they know God. What is the key? What is the key? Because there are so many out there professing, right? 1 John 2 and verse 3, fundamental scripture. By this standard we know that we know him. If, so it's conditional, we keep his commandments. Now, we just covered that on repentance of what's happening in the aftermath of the election, right? Have you taken that personally? To repent? To repent of your sins? To repent of your rejection of Christ? To repent of whatever you have been doing, all the way from drug taking down to whatever minor crime you might consider minor, but they are all considered worthy of death because the wages of sin is death. Now notice, by this standard we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And any minister who says the law has been done away is from Satan the devil, and I would advise you to run as fast as you can away from that. And a lot of those misinterpretations and false doctrines come because of the King James Version and other versions of the Bible, which then mistranslate the writings of the Apostle Paul and do not understand them. This is clear. Notice, here's the opposite. Here's the test. The one who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. If he's a liar, who is he following? Who is the father of lies? None other than Satan the devil. You go clear back, and isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve, right? And it's happened everywhere today. Just stop and think. Look at the political system in America today or whatever other country you are living in, and it is rife with lies and cheating and stealing and all of the evil abominations of Satan the devil. Same way in America. And that all comes because of the religious leaders. Those religious leaders who are teachers and teach in the name of Christ and do not teach the truth are liars, is what it says. Meaning, they are from Satan, the devil. And remember, that fulfills a prophecy that many would come in Jesus' name saying he was a Christ and would deceive many, right? Now notice, verse 5, on the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, ha, 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 more than just the commandments, the words of Christ, the teachings of Christ, right? Truly, in this one, the love of God is being perfected. By this means, we know we are in him. Now back to John 10. Back to John 10. Because you see, the solution to human sin always comes back to Christ and his crucifixion, his shed blood, his death and resurrection. But the one who became Jesus Christ was the one who created Adam and Eve, and hence, through the process of procreation, created all human beings that have ever been. Because nothing in the process of procreation has changed from Adam and Eve down to our day. And again, I remind you, two genders. Let's come back here to John 10. Verse 14 again, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know those who are mine, and am known of those who are mine. Just as the Father knows me, I also know the Father. Now notice what he says here, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now the sheep are the first called. Later, his sacrifice will apply to the rest of the world, but not now, just to those who are called. Remember where we started? To call the chosen and the faithful? Are you one of those? Well, you better find out how to be one, and that is repent and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't do that, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many times you use the name of Jesus to do whatever you do. As long as you are keeping Sunday and Christmas and Easter, and that's what's coming up now, all of the lies of Satan, all wrapped up in big, beautiful packages, right? You don't know God. You may know some things about God, but you don't know God. See, Christ came to lay his life down for the sheep. Verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. On account of this, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may receive it back. He willingly laid down his life. He gave all of the prophecies in the Old Testament of all the suffering that he would go through. And we'll cover some of those next time. Verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have authority to lay it down and authority to receive it back. This commandment I received from my Father. The whole purpose of his coming to this earth. Now think about that. So, why did Jesus have to die? Because he was the Lord God of the Old Testament who created Adam and Eve. He was the Lord God who pronounced judgment against them because of their sin. He was the Lord God of the Old Testament who gave the prophecy that he would die to save us from our sins and all of the other prophecies in the Old Testament to add up to it. And he knew what it was going to be like, and he understood what it was going to be and how it was going to be. See? That's why. And some of the things that he said to the disciples that they didn't realize really who he was or why he came, even up to the point of his being crucified. That's amazing. So now, let's come back here to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, because this chapter tells us an awful lot. Verse 1, God, who spoke to the fathers at different times in the past and in many ways by the prophets, has spoken to us in these last days by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the ages. Now notice who he was. It talks about who he was before he became flesh. who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his own power. Remember what Jesus told the disciples when he ascended to go return to heaven? He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. When he had by himself purged our sins, he had to do this alone. Alone. By himself. Even the Father had to back off to let him die to prove that he would not sin. Sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having been made so much greater than any of the angels, inasmuch as he has inherited a name exceedingly superior to them. For which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, this day I have begotten you, and that was the day that he was begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. And again, when he brought the firstborn into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And didn't that happen? Yes, you can read that in Luke's second chapter. We'll leave it right there for today, but I want to bring to your attention again the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. This shows when he died, the year he died, the day he died, how he died, the time he died, when he was buried, when he was put into tomb. How do you count 3 days and three nights? Sidebar, you can't do it from Friday to Sunday. And was resurrected at the end of 3 days and three nights. All of that is true. All of that is from the Bible. And this is what you need to get the true and right information about God. Who was Jesus? Now, another book we have that you need to get and read, which is, Lord, what should I do? That tells you why Christianity is failing. That tells you why people are leaving churches. That tells you why they're turning to other things instead of God. So what about you? Will you turn to the true God, or will you turn to the gods of this world? Well, that's something you have to decide. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.